Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again, Wednesday night inspirational Bible study hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And always, it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you on Wednesday night. I pray that everyone had a wonderful week and they receive all that they were hoping for in Christ. And I just pray that everything is well in your life and in your family and with your family. At this time, I want to thank God for the opportunity. I thank the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I thank God for each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedules to come and explore the Word of God together. At this time, I want you to know that our lesson for tonight is God's Master Plan Unfolds. And what I'm going to be talking about is the seven dispensations of time. I pray that everyone had their Bibles and some paper and pencil to write some things down. And at the end of the broadcast, I pray that you have questions that we can line up the Word of God. But since we only have this short time, it is my desire that you take what you receive tonight, pray, ask the Holy Ghost for illumination and revelation, and that you study and study the lesson even further. Again, God's Master Plan Unfolds, the seven dispensations of time. Right now, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll let you open up with prayer. If not, I will go on and pray. After that, we will have a song, and I'll come back with the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, our Lord and our Master. We have to thank you for your grace, and we thanking you for your mercy. I'm thanking you for each caller that came in and everyone over the internet, dear God, and those who would decide to listen to the lesson at some other time. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. So I'm going to go ahead and play this song, and once it's over, we'll go back, we'll come back in the Word of God. The song that I'm going to play is Let the Church Say Amen. And I think that is so important. And even with the name of the song, I pray that each and every one of you know when you hear a word of God or something that goes forth, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't say amen to everything that you hear. Amen is saying you touch and you agree and you believe it. And here's the song.
Let the church
say
amen.
Amen.
said. No matter how you're feeling or how your world is reeling, battle on through the night, 'cause you're gonna the church say, oh, 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 lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
That was Let the Church Say Amen. I see I have a special caller tonight, Madison Andrew Chambers, my grandson, and he came in after the prayer came on. But I'm going to open your mic right now, Madison, and I want to let you know that your mic is open. Would you like to pray today?
Well, I hope you like the lesson.
And would you like to pray?
Yes.
You can start.
Okay. God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to listen, because not a lot of people have the technology and things to at least hear the lesson right now. But I thank you for allowing people to be able to have the things to listen to this message about you this Wednesday night, 8:30, starting on Blog Talk Radio, Words of Wisdom. Thank you. And please let the message get through clearly and let people go back in the Bible and try to research it and try to get it even more and tell it to other people like you would like to do at that time when you sent your son onto the earth to make the people believe in you more, and also to protect us from from our sins from going to hell. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Madison, I thank you so much for that wonderful prayer. Would you like to say anything else to the people tonight?
No, ma'am.
And I thank you so much. And I'm so proud of you. That was Madison Andrew Chamber, my grandson, 10 years old. The song that I played tonight, I think it's so appropriate for the lesson because they say God has spoken and let the church say amen. You know, if God said it, we could believe it. And if he said it, it will come to pass. Tonight lesson is talking about the seven dispensations of time. You might say, what are you talking about? Everything that God has established from the beginning and all the way through eternity, it happens in periods of time for a specific reason, for a specific season, for a specific purpose, and for a specific people sometime. So when we talk about the Bible, we could break it up into dispensations of time, and we could see how the plan, the master plan of God unfold over and over and over again through history. And it's good to know that it is broken up, and there are dispensations. So I just want to touch on this tonight. That's why I say you may need some paper and a pencil. And I pray at the end of the lesson, you may want some scriptures to back it up, or you may want to see where it was in the Bible. But I want you to know that the dispensationalism is what it's called. And it is a method of interpreting history that divides God's work and purpose towards mankind into different periods of time. You know, and then I went and looked it up in Webster Dictionary, and it defines it as the divine ordering of the affairs of the world, an appointment, arrangement, or favor by God. It is divinely appointed order or age. You know how they say the days of the Lord, and they're talking about different times. You see, usually there are seven dispensations identified throughout the Bible, but some theologians believe that there are nine. We usually deal with the seven and believe that it's seven. You see, which is the entire period from the creation of Adam's to when there will be new heavens and new earths, which is the last thing that is described in the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation. The scripture divides time into seven unequal periods. They all wasn't for the same amount of time. Usually they were called dispensations, but sometimes they're called ages, and sometimes they're called days, as in the day of our Lord. These periods are marked off in Scripture by some change. Listen to me. These periods are marked off in Scripture by some change in God's master plan and the method of dealing with mankind or a portion of mankind in respects to two questions. Number one, sin. Second thing, man's responsibility. And you can see that all throughout the book, man's responsibility and sin. Each of the dispensations may be regarded as a new test of the natural man, and each end in judgment, making their utter failure in every dispensation. Man has failed in every dispensation of time that God has created and has given us. You see, five of these dispensations, a period of time, they've been fulfilled already. We have the privilege of being seen. We have the privilege to see God's dispensations, a God master plan unfold, because we have the Holy Bible. You see, we are living in the sixth one right now. and probably towards its close. You know, like people say, oh, the world coming to an end. It just seemed like it's we in the last days and things, but we in the sixth dispensation, and, you know, some people believe that it's probably close to the end. And we have before us the seventh, the last, which is called the millennium. Now, what I wanted to do, since I wanted to talk about this topic, I wanted to give you a scripture. So the scripture you could use for the night is Ephesians 1 and 10. Ephesians 1 and 10. And it states that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So I wanted you to see that the Bible talks and states about the dispensation, and that it says that the dispensation of the fullness of time, that the goal is that he will unite all of us with Christ, the believers, all of us, the ones in heaven and those on earth, will be in Christ Jesus, and we will take on his image. So I'm going to talk now about the dispensations. Many of them, you know them and you know about them. You know maybe when they started, you might know when they end. You may not know it was a dispensation, and you could see how God's master plan unfold through the dispensations. And like I say, five of them has already been filled, it's already happened, and it's over, and we're living in the sixth, and we're waiting for the seventh. So the first dispensation was man's innocence. It was a dispensation of innocence. Okay, how do I say that? You see, this dispensation extended from the creation of Adam's to the expulsion of Adam and Eve out of the garden. Adam created innocent, and ignorance of good and evil was placed in the Garden of Eden with his wife, Eve, and put under responsibility to replenish the earth with children. Subdue the earth, have dominion over the animals, care for the garden, sustain from eating, and should sustain from eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge and good. You see, that's why that was an innocent period. When God created and did the beginning, it was all innocence. There was just pure innocence. There was no good. There was no evil. It was all good. That was the dispensation of innocence. And you see, this dispensation was short-lived. Come on. And it was brought to an end by Adam and Eve's disobedience. See, God created everything to be innocent. There was no evil even present until sin entered into the world. So that dispensation started with innocence, and it ended with disobedience. You see, the dispensation of innocence resulted in the first failure of man, and it is far-reaching, and its far-reaching effects was disastrous. And like I said earlier, the dispensations ended with judgment. And this dispensation of innocence, because sin had came in the world, it ended in judgment. And what was the judgment? God drove them out of the garden. Imagine that, having everything set up so wonderful. And you see, you got the, what else can you get from this? And I have to keep going on, but I just want to make this point. God did everything that he wanted to do for man. He gave them everything they needed. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to look for their food. God provided everything for man, and he gave a command. Do not eat from the tree. And yet man could not do it. And that's what ended the innocent dispensation of time. And then we came to the second dispensation, because when that was in, when that one entered, God came to another, you know, another plan and another way to deal with the people, because sin hadn't entered. There was no more innocence. So now we come to the dispensation, the second one, which is man under conscience. By now, after they had ate of the fruit, they had conscience. And the second dispensation of time is man under conscience. You see, by the fall, Adam and Eve acquired and transmitted to the race knowledge of good and evil. That's when he came in. There was none before that, because it was innocent. This gave conscience on the basis of right moral judgment. In other words, there was a right and there was a wrong, because, you know, you now know evil and you know right from wrong. And hence the race, the human race, came under a measure of responsibility to do good and shun evil. See, now we have to make a decision, and we have to do what's right to be you know, accepted to God and things like that. But this dispensation, the second one of conscience, it lasts for 1,656 years from the time of Adam and Eve expulsion from the garden until a flood. Follow me, y'all. Okay. Adam and Eve get evicted from the garden. And from the time they get evicted from the garden, the second dispensation of conscience lasted until a flood with Noah. During the time, there was no institution of government, and there was no laws. God had not given the people laws, but sin gave them a moral conscience. You see, this dispensation demonstrated that mankind will do, if left to his own will and conscience, which has been tainted by the inheriting a sin nature that we received from Adam. That's why they say all of us fall short of the glory of God, because we inherit that sin nature DNA. You see, the result of the dispensation of conscience from Eden to the flood was that all flesh was corrupted upon the earth, and that wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Now, we know what happened, because mankind was so wicked upon the earth, God destroyed the world by flood. And the five major aspects of this dispensation are: what happened in it? God cursed the serpent for enticement. And he changed the woman. He changed womanhood and childbearing, that she had to have pain with having a child. And he put a curse on nature. That's when weeds and thorns and everything started growing, because the garden was perfect. And then he imposed work on mankind to produce the food. See, Adam just had to eat the food. He didn't have to produce the food. It's almost like he had a caterer deliver him the food day by day, but it just wasn't enough. Man is wicked. And it was the promise in that dispensation. Now watch how awesome this is. The first was the innocent. The second was the conscious, man fell. In the third chapter of Genesis, God gave the promise of Jesus coming back. God gave the promise that Jesus would come and save us from our sin nature. That was awesome. You see, God closed the second testing of the natural man with another judgment. And that judgment was the flood. So that's how that dispensation ended. We on number three. You remember I told you in there, there was no laws, there was no government, you know, there was no this and there was no that, you know, upon the earth. But you see, by the third one, God said he had to put something else in place. And the third dispensation is man in authority over the earth and world government. You see, the third dispensation is the dispensation of human government. If you want to know when government started, and laws and courts, that happened in a dispensation. And remember, the United States used to believe in God, and they based a lot of things on the word of God, just like 7 years of bad credit. You know, after 7 years, your credit could be forgiven. In the Bible, it was the 7 years of Jubilee, when everybody would be made back whole with their credit and they standard of living. You know, on the dollar we have in God we trust. You know, how they get judges. You know, when Moses was judging everything and it was too much, his father-in-law told him he needed to get help, and they made judges, and they would judge the minor cases, but if something was major, it would go to him. So I guess he was the Supreme Court. Come on now, y'all. They used the Bible to come with things because it made sense. But in the third dispensation is when the human government came to be. You see, God had destroyed the life on earth with the flood. He just saved one family to restart the human race. God made the following promise and command to Noah and his family. Now, God has started another dispensation. He done wiped away everything. I told you the dispensations end in judgment. So he put the flood. Everything was destroyed except one man and his family. And you see, God told Noah, you know, it hurt God bad that this happened. God, it grieved him that he had to destroy his creation. So he made a promise to Noah. He said, God told Noah, I will never curse the earth again. He told Noah and his families to replenish the earth with people. He told them they shall have dominion over the animal creation, and they are allowed to eat meat. See, before this dispensation of time, everybody was vegetarians. So when people on earth began to eat meat, it was in the third dispensation when God made these promises and covenants with Noah and his family. He said, you're allowed to eat meat. And the law of capital punishment was established. How you like that? The other thing he told him, he said, there will never be another worldwide flood. God said, I'll never destroy the earth that way. I promise. He said, to let you know that my promises is real and I won't change them, he said, I'll give you a sign of the rainbow to let you know as long as there's rainbows, I'm still holding on and delivering my promise. But watch what happened in this dispensation. Noah's descendants did not scatter and fill the earth as God had commanded, thus failing their responsibility in this dispensation. Look like man failed in all of them, huh? Look like we just can't get it right after all that God does. But you see, Noah and his family they failed their responsibility in the dispensation, but God was true to his promise. You see, about 325 years after the flood, the earth inhabitants began building the Tower of Babel. Y'all know about that. They hadn't got so full of themselves. They want to get to the heavens. They started building the Tower of Babel, a great monument to their sorority, to their solidarity and pride for thinking more of themselves than they should. And we only on the Genesis, the 11th chapter now, y'all. You can look it up. That's what happened. They decided to build a tower that they could reach to God, and they were so wrapped up in pride. And I'm only talking about 300 years after the flood. to look like it could have been still kind of fresh in their mind. But you know what happens? There's generations and generations and generations that come. And that's why the Bible tells us we should teach our generations. He said, write it over the doorpost so that they can know. You know, teach your children what God is doing so that they can believe. But 325 years later, they built the tower, was building the top tower of Babel. And like all of the rest of the dispensation, I told you that they usually end in judgment. And this judgment was God brought judgment, and the construction came to a halt. See, God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. God will let you get so far. But when God says enough, he could stop anything. So you see, as they was building the construction, God put it to a halt. And what he did, he created different languages. That's how we have Spanish and French and all these languages. God created different languages, and he enforced his command to fill the earth. He scattered them. That's why we have all the different cultures. That's where the government came in. The different cultures, the different rules, the different regulations, and the laws, capital punishment. See, the result of the rise of this, and the result was the rise of different nations and cultures. We didn't have that until that dispensation of time. And from that point on, human governments have been a reality. Check the Bible out. That's why I say there's nothing that you could think of or comprehend or wonder about that's not in the Bible. It all starts from there. Now, we have the fourth dispensation. After this happened, it became man under promise. You see, under the disparate descendants of the builders of the Tower of Babylon, God's going to always find a way. And these people was on earth. They built the Tower of Babylon. They was worshiping idol gods. They was doing anything and everything they thought they were big enough and bad enough to do. But God had a promise for his people. But he needed someone to deliver the promise through. So God called one man, Adam, with whom he entered into a covenant with. It started with the call of Abraham, which Abram was his name, not Adam, if I say that. Let me go back. After they was building the Tower of Babylon, God had a promise for the people, and he wanted someone to present the promise through so he could show the people. And now they got all these nations, and he wanted to show them what he was working with. So he called one man, and his name was Abram, who is Abraham. But God changed Abram's name was Abram. When God got ready to use him, he changed his name to Abraham. And it started with the call of Abraham, continued through the lives of the patriarchs, the Moses and all of these, and the prophets and all of these people. He started building up his nation. You remember they had formulated many nations, but he wanted a nation for himself. So he chose Abraham. And, you know, they had all of the Moses and all of the Hebrew boys and all of these people, you know, and all of this and all of that. And God chose Abraham. And this dispensation has appeared. It lasted. It continued through the lives of the patriarchs, and this dispensation ended with the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt. So what that's telling me, you know, Moses had came, and you know, the 12 tribes of Israel was formed, and God had made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel, and God made them his holy nation. and the period ended. The promise ended with the Exodus from Egypt, when God parted the Red Sea and they entered into the promise. They entered into the wilderness before going to the promised land. You know, the basic promise during a dispensation of promise was the Abrahamic covenant, because God made a covenant with Abraham, and that's what it's called. And here are some of the key points that it was an unconditional covenant. From Abraham would come a great nation that God would bless with natural and spiritual prosperity. This is God making a covenant with Abraham. God would make Abraham's name great. And we can all believe and contest to that. Father Abraham had many sons. We are all the seeds of Abraham, and we receive the blessings of Abraham. So you should know what God promised to Abraham. You are Abraham as, and it belongs to you. Go and get it and believe it, and then you can achieve it. And go ahead and try to do what is necessary to get it so you can receive it. You see, God would bless those that bless Abraham's descendants and curse those that curse them. That's worried, y'all. And in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This was fulfilled in Jesus Christ and his work for salvation. All of his people will be blessed and saved. God gave him that promise. I'm going to send someone that's going to take care of you and yours. And his name is Jesus. And he's going to bring a work of salvation. That was one of the covenant agreements God made with Abraham. And then the sign of the covenant, he said, now, how are we going to consummate this? He said, y'all get circumcised. So that's why circumcision during this covenant was an important thing. And you see, this covenant, which was repeated to Isaac and Jacob, which is Abraham's grandsons, is confirmed to the Hebrew people and the 12 tribes of Israel. So you see, Abraham had Isaac and Jacob. No, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of these conditions, was violated. And the dispensation of promise resulted in the failure of Israel and closed in the judgment of bondage in Egypt. God made all these promises to Abraham, and he gave the people what they needed. He took care of them. Y'all know what God did for Abraham. And not only Abraham, but his seed, Lot, his nephew, when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God, Abraham told God, my nephew, hey, God. And God told him, he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you and your nephew, tell your nephew and his family to come on out. He said, when they come on out, you know, I'm going to destroy it after them. He said, but tell them don't look back. You know, and Abraham's wife, which we don't know her name in the Bible, don't say her name. You know, she started coming out, and she looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. But Lot and his family were saved. And I don't know if y'all know this part. Lot had some daughters, and Lot's daughters had some husbands. And when they was trying to tell him what God said to do, they just didn't believe it. Unbelief will get you messed up. So when Lot and his wife and his daughters left, the daughter's husband decided not to come. Sin will mess you up. Sin will hold you back. Sin will make you lose your life. And it'll sure enough make you miss your blessings. This dispensation, see, this is what I'm saying. Now we in the fifth dispensation of time. We done went through 1, 2, 3, 4, all of the dispensation of time. What God had established for his people was good. And when they messed up one, he gave them another one. And when they messed up the other one, he gave them another one. And when they messed up again, he gave them another one. And you see what God had did, and there was no law. Even with Abraham, God said Abraham was right. And he counted it as faith. You see what I'm saying? Jesus hadn't come, so he couldn't accept Jesus. There was no law to just per se rule him by. But that wasn't good enough. So now, God say, I tried this, number one. I tried two. I done tried three. I done tried four. And every time, man is too weak. He said, but now we're going to go to dispensation of time, number five. And it's man under law. You see, again, the grace of God came to help the helpless man and redeem the chosen people out of the land of their oppressors. You see, even though Jesus Christ had not came, God was already dispensing grace in the world before the beginning. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he did it with grace. Come on now. When he saved Noah and his family from the flood, that's grace. When he chose Abraham to be his nation, that's grace. Grace. You see, so even though Jesus Christ wasn't here, we can't say God was not operating in grace, because God is total grace. Everything God do for us is grace. We can't earn it ourselves, not in and of ourselves. So the operation of grace has always been from God towards his people. You see, again, the grace of God came to help the helpless man and redeem the chosen people out of the hand of the oppressors. Come on now. The grace of God is still willing to step in for his people. God is faithful. God is pure love. And God has never given up on none of us. You see, in the wilderness, in Sinai, he proposed to them the covenant of the law. He said, okay, y'all, grace ain't good enough for y'all. So y'all evidently like rituals and doing something to make you feel like you're doing something. You don't want to accept this gift I'm giving you. Come on now. You don't want to take this unconditional love I'm giving you. He says, okay, we're going to institute law. You see, but instead of them humbly pleading for the continual relationship of grace, they presumably answered. And this is what they said to God. All that the law has spoken, we will do. Yeah, right. God, I'm not sure because the Bible don't say it, but, you know, God might want them to say, God, you're so good to us already. Let us just try to do better. Come on, let us examine ourselves and then examine what you have asked for us to do and do that, because, you know, anything else will be a yoke around our neck, Lord. But they couldn't see the forest for the trees, and they told him whatever he speak, they will do. You see, that dispensation lasted 1,500 years. It was from the Exodus. That's when they came on out of Egypt, until it was suspended after Christ's death. So that's how long the law, the dispensation of law, was in place. You see, there was no law before that. But when they exited out of Egypt and God was fixing to let them go into the promised land, God said, I can't let you go like that. You know, if you're going to be my people and I'm going to be your God, let's lay down some ground rules. That's how the law became in effect, and it lasted until Jesus' death. So that's where the law came from. That's why there was a law. And, you know, with the law, they had, you know, they listed Well, really, God gave some laws and man added more to them because it was 635 laws and no one in and of themselves could have accomplished. And believe you me, if one man could have accomplished living by the law, Jesus wouldn't have had to die because we would all have to get it that way as well. If one could do it, all of us would have had the possibility. But our DNA and our sin nature that was imputed to us by Adam, God knew in and of ourselves we couldn't do it. And that's why these dispensations has happened over and over. When you get through with this lesson and you study it for yourself and you sit back and think about the goodness of Jesus and God and all that they're doing for us, we're not trying to do right to get saved. We are just trying to do right because we saved, because we recognize what God has done for us. We recognize what God is promising to do for us. We recognizing that God has always been so fair and so gracious, so merciful and kind, and we want to please him. There's a difference. You see, this dispensation will continue through the millennium with some modification. During the dispensation of law, God dealt specifically with the Jewish nation through the laws of Moses. He had a covenant with Moses, and that's where we get the law. You see, it's found in the book of Exodus, and the book of Leviticus give us the laws. You see, so he got Moses to make these laws. Come on now, y'all. And they wrote all these laws. And God said, okay, you do this, I do that. He put in a sacrifice because Jesus wasn't born. But it's amazing that sins always had a place of, I ain't going to say forgiveness, a covering, a something on sins when there was blood sacrifice. When there was the shedding of blood, the shedding of blood. You may not realize, but the first sacrifice was made in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned and they knew they were naked and they hid behind a tree and put leaves on them. And when God came and asked why they was hiding, because they was naked, because you see they knew now good and bad and good and evil, and they try to cover themselves. But God with his own hand took and killed some animals. And what that was, blood. And he made them some clothes to cover themselves. That was the first shedding of blood because, you see, they knew they had sinned, and God shed the blood of those innocent animals to make them a covering. And you see, in the Old Testament, when they killed the animals and brought the sacrifices and the priest sent it up to God, it didn't take away the sins, but it covered it, and God accepted it. Hallelujah. You see, with this dispensation of time, when they became under the law and they got laws, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and before they went in the promised land, he said, now y'all going A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I don't want y'all, nothing else have worked for y'all. We're in the fifth dispensation of time, and I'm fixing to give y'all all of these promised land. And I'm going to make y'all my people. Y'all going to be my chosen people. Y'all going to be my chosen nation. So let's get some ground rules. And they started, that's where the law was established in the fifth dispensation of time. You see, this dispensation involved temple worship directed by the priests with further direction from the spoken words with God mouthpiece. That's when all of the prophets came. God dwelt among his people in the Old Testament, and he used his prophets to give the people warning and instruction and probably even encouragement. You see, eventually due to the people, disobedience to this covenant, the tribe of Israel lost the promised land and were subject to bondage again over and over. They were captured by the Babylonians. They, you know, sometimes was captured by the Hittites, the Mithites, the Benaites, you know, and on and on. And you see the history of Israel in the wilderness and in the land is long recorded of violations. It's recorded of the many violations of the law. And at last, after multiple warnings, here go God again. God is so good. You see, God closed the testing of man by law, the dispensation of law. Here we go again in judgment. First Israel and then Judah were driven out of the lands, and they're still out of the lands today. When you see all that ISIS and all of that, well, not as much as ISIS, but all of that's going on over in Jerusalem and things like that, all of that is fighting over land. That's why they call it a holy war. That's why nothing too much people think they could do going to make a difference with it. But you see, in due time, Christ came. He was born of a woman, and he was made under the law. Come on now. The law was still in place that Jesus died. Now we're on the sixth dispensation of time. And this is the one that we are living in now. Hallelujah. The sixth dispensation of time is the one in which we live now. In the dispensation, it is the dispensation of grace. It began with the new covenant in Christ's blood. This is the age of grace, or the church age. It started with the death of Christ, and it's going to end with the rapture of the church. The sacrificial death of Christ introduced the dispensation of pure grace, which means undeserved favor of God-given righteousness. Instead, watch, I got to say this one again. Y'all get this one down. The sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ introduced the dispensation of pure grace, which means undeserved favor of God-given righteousness instead of God requiring righteousness as it was done under the law. Grace. Look like God dispensations get better and better for his people, huh? You see, this dispensation is worldwide, and it includes both the Jews and the Gentiles. Man's responsibility during a dispensation of grace is to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In this dispensation, God has given us a gift of the Holy Ghost that indwells inside of us, and he's our comfort and our guide, which enable us to live a righteous life. You see, this dispensation has lasted for over 2,000 years, and no one knows when it will end. Come on now. Anybody ever tell you about the world going in 2032? Just look at them. No one knows. When they ask Jesus Christ, Jesus says, "Not no one knows but the Father." So you ain't got to guess about that. But no one knows when it will end. But we do know that it will end with the rapture of all born-again believers in the grave and from the earth to go with Jesus Christ. Following the rapture will be the judgment of God. It's going to last for 7 years, y'all. My time is getting short, and I don't want to short you, but I got to keep going. It's going to last for 7 years. And after this, the personal return of the Lord to the earth in power and glory is going to occur. And this is the judgment which is going to introduce the seventh dispensation and the last dispensation of time. Now, the seventh dispensation is going to be when man is under the personal reign of Jesus Christ, and it's called the millennium. After the purifying judgment, Christ will return to the earth. He will reign over Israel. He's going to restore it and rule over the earth for 1,000 years. This is the period commonly known as the millennium, and it will last for 1,000 years as Christ himself ruled on earth. This kingdom will be fulfilled. It's going to fulfill the prophecy. You know, all prophecy that was given got to come true. But this is going to reveal the prophecy to the Jewish nation that Christ will return and be their king. You see, the only people allowed to enter the kingdom and into the kingdom are the born-again believers from the age of grace. That's us. We are in the dispensation of grace and the righteous survivors of the seven-year tribulation. You see, after Jesus come back and get his people, they're going to be people still living on earth, and they're going to have a seven-year tribulation. The first three going to be hard, but the first three and a half going to be hard, but the second three, they call it great tribulation because it's going to be the volume is going to be pumped up. But in that 7 years, some people will be saved. So that's those with the people coming out of the who were saved, you know, before that time, and those that made it through the tribulation is going to enter the kingdom. No unsaved person will be allowed access to the kingdom. Satan is bound during 1,000 years. This period ends with the final judgment when the world will be destroyed by fire and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. See, the first time it was destroyed by water, it's going to be destroyed by fire. God is going to burn everything up and make a new heaven and a new earth for his people to dwell in. All of the pollution of the air and the ground and the weeds and all that's going to be burnt up. You see, but with all of this, Satan is going to be loose. And he finds the natural heart of man as prone to evil as ever before. And he's going to be trying to gather a nation together to battle with God and his saints, which is us, in this last dispensation closes, like all others in judgment. The great white throne is set. The wicked dead are raised and finally judged. And then after that, there will be the new heaven and new earth, and eternity is begun. That's the lesson for tonight. I pray that it was something that you could use. I pray that if you have any questions, if you need me to give you the scripture so you could go and look it up for yourself. I really don't have that much more time. I got 3 minutes. If anybody would like to have another lesson that expounds on some of the dispensation or go to them more in depth, you could press the one button and we could put that down. You know, if someone would like to make a comment or ask a question about this, you know, you can press the one button on your phone. But what I did was gave you a little glimpse of how the master plans of God before the foundation. See, before the foundation of the world, God decided what he wanted for his people. But with God being omnipotent, omnipresent, and he just knowed everything, and he knew man would fail. And you could see how he came back again and back again and back again with mercy and back again with something for his people. When I got through doing this lesson, I sat down and I just thought, you know, it's just so amazing that God provides everything for us, and then he just tells us what he would like to do. And he provides more than for us than he even ever asks us to do, and yet we can't do it. Adam and Eve had everything, and all he told them, just don't eat that fruit. You can't even imagine all of the fruits that Adam and Eve had in the garden for food, and they were vegetarians, so that wasn't an issue. Because you saw when he allowed them to start eating meat after the flood, and he just told them, don't eat that one, and they can't do it. So when we look at the world in the turmoil that it is, it is nothing new under the sun. God said nothing will ever happen to you that has not already been happened to, that is not common to man. But we have to try to do our best to turn away from evil. Because that's where your blessings are. That's where your success is. You can do it any kind of way you want, but you're gonna get what you got when you do it. If you want peace, if you want joy, if you want happiness, if you want to walk in faith, if you want goodness, if you want gentleness, you know, that's the fruit of the Spirit that God is providing in our lives through the Holy Ghost. You know, and it's up to us to obey, submit, and cooperate. So if anyone would like to make a comment, you can press the one button on your phone. if you like prayer, if you need whatever, if anyone would like to make a comment, you can press the one button on your phone. If not, I have a song that's so appropriate because you see one of the dispensation of time, God started with Abraham, and he made a promise to Abraham, and all of the promises of Abraham is for us as well because this stated in the Word of God. And I have a lot of scriptures wrote down, you guys. I just didn't say them with the lesson because there have just been so many. If you want to press the one button, I could give you where to go and find these dispensations, and you study them for yourself, and you meditate on them because you could see the goodness of God through each and every one of them. And God said he'll never leave us nor forsake you, and we could see that he is true to his word. He's true to his promise. We got to trust him. We have to trust him. So since no one has any comments, no prayer requests or anything that they would like to say, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to press the this song, and it's called the Blessings of Abraham. And we see that God say whatever he gave Abraham, he's got for us. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tribe City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Go get it. It's yours. You. It's yours. You. It's yours.
was the seeds, the blessings of Abraham. Well, since no one want to make comments, ask for prayer, say anything else tonight, I'm going to go ahead and close, and I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on next week. I pray that you have a wonderful week, and I'm just going to go ahead and close, and may the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. Amen, and thank God. And that ends our program for tonight. God be with you. God loves you, and so do I. Good night. Be blessed.